for what and a who. What charges? What had Jesus actually done? What kingdom? What is truth? Who do we want to be released? We are in John chapter 18 this morning, and this morning in verses 28 to 40. Just to remind us, to set the scene, Jesus has already been arrested. The soldiers and the Jewish officials have already taken Jesus to the Jewish high priest, and now they take him to Pilate. And in this passage, there are three parties present. The first party, the Jewish leaders with the people. Second party, Pilate, the Roman governor. And thirdly, Jesus. And lots of questions are being asked in these few verses. 8 questions in all. Pilate even gets asked a question, and I guess that was unusual for Pilate to be asked a question. The Jewish leaders and people, they get asked 2 questions, and Jesus gets asked 5 questions. It goes without saying that questions are denoted in the text by a question mark, but interestingly, because there is also a statement which is sort of kind of a question, but presented without the question mark, and we'll see that in just a moment. So what I thought I'd do before we read the actual passage, I'd read you the questions that are appearing, so you sort of flag them up in your mind, then we'll read the whole passage. So if you're willing, if you've got a Bible, have it open. There's some Bibles at the back if anyone wants one. So we're John chapter 18, verse 28. But in fact, I'm going to go straight to 29 because we're just going to look at a question. So verse 29, Pilate asked the Jewish leaders, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" Verse 33, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Verse 34, interestingly, Jesus asked Pilate, "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" In response to that question, Pilate asks Jesus, "Am I a Jew?" And goes on to say, "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me." And then he asks another question, "What is it that you have done?" Then in verse 37, Pilate makes this statement, which I think is almost a question, without the question mark though, when he says, "You are a king then." Verse 38, Pilate asks Jesus, "What is truth?" And verse 39, Pilate asked people, the Jewish people, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" So having looked at those questions, let's now read the passage and we'll see them in context. John 18, verse 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Jesus answered, then Pilate said, "You are a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. A lot is going on in this short passage, and lots of questions too. But rather than looking at all the questions as they appear in the text, I would like to ask five questions based on the text, inspired by the text. The five questions you can see on the screen. Five questions that applied to the people back in the day, but they are also five questions that apply to all of us today, right here, right now. We've got five questions. Four what's and a who. Here are my five questions, as you can see on the screen. What charges? What had Jesus actually done? What kingdom? What is truth? And who do we want to be released? But before we answer those five questions, I want to just briefly comment on verses 28 to 29, because there's something I find quite amazing. I'm not sure whether you picked it up. Let's have a look. Verse 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them. Doesn't that seem unbelievable? The Passover festival lasted for many days, and they were already in the midst of the festival. Now, as we mentioned last week, we talked quite a bit about ceremonial uncleanness last week, if you remember, with all the imagery from the animals in that duvet that came down from heaven, you remember? Now, remember that entering the home of a non-Jewish person, entering the home of a Gentile, would make a Jewish person unclean. But if you want a favor, these are the Jewish leaders wanting Pilate to grant them a favor, to do away with this man Jesus who is offending their religion. Are you really going to be that picky when you want a favor? And it's not even as if these Jewish leaders are really respecting every protocol anyway. Think of it like this, because I just think that they are pushing it rather with Pilate. When I say unbelievable, I'm not saying that it didn't happen. What I'm saying is I find it hard to understand their audacity in saying to Pilate, we want you to do something for us, but we ain't coming in to talk to you. You'll have to come out to us. Do you get what I'm saying? You see, in their religious piety, they are in effect saying to Pilate, we understand that you are the Roman governor. We know that Israel is under your power. We realize that you have power over life and death in this land. And we would like to ask you a favor. Please, please, would you get rid of this man, Jesus, because he is offending our religion. But, Pilate, we have to say, we are not going to come into your palace to talk to you because you are not pure like us, because you are not Jewish, because you are a dirty Gentile. And if we come into your palace, the dirt will rub off onto us and we won't be able to enjoy our religious feast. Their attitude could have been, and perhaps should have been, enough to make Pilate really angry and just send them away and say, clear off the lot of you. And the question is why it didn't. And all I can say is, it was God's plan that Jesus should be crucified. It was God's timing. Everything had been planned. And nothing, not even human arrogance or disrespecting protocol and so on, nothing could stand in the way, because God had ordained that Jesus would die in my place, in your place, in our place. So now we do get to the first of my questions. What charges? Look in verse 29, please. So Pilate came out to them, which we've said is pretty unusual. He's come out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? Now, this is obviously, when you're having a trial of some sort, it is a right and a logical question. You've come to me with this man. You want him put to death. You want him punished. At least tell me what charges you are bringing against this man. What has he done that is so bad? Now, of course, the reality is that Jesus had done nothing wrong. We know that he was totally without sin. He had done no crime. And the Jewish leaders come up with a very feeble reply to Pilate's question. Pilate asks them, what charges are you bringing against this man? And the best answer they can come up with is in verse 30. If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. What kind of an answer is that? That was the very best they could think of. And by their answer, by not listing any specific crime, they have proved that their intention was 100% false. They cannot answer Pilate's question. And since the Jewish leaders, those who are accusing Jesus, cannot answer Pilate's question, Pilate then has to put the question that they should be able to answer. Pilate has to put that question to Jesus directly. And you'll see this in verse 35. And of course, it's our second question on the board. What had Jesus actually done? Verse 35, Pilate said to Jesus, your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Effectively, Pilate is asking Jesus, what have you done that has made them so upset? What have you done that has made them hate you so much? What on earth have you done that would make them want to see you dead? Now, there are some specific things that angered the Jewish leaders about Jesus, and they are recorded in the Gospels. But Jesus does not mention any of them to Pilate. I'll give you just a few of them. So the fact that Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. Do you remember that used to really annoy the Jewish leaders? The fact that Jesus called God his Father. That really got them going. When he used the words, I am, to describe himself on many occasions. Those words that related to God speaking to Moses back in the Old Testament. I've got it in the Old Testament. There you go. That got them really going. Driving out the market traders. Remember when he turns over the tables of those selling doves and so on. You know, that must have really annoyed them too. But Jesus does not mention any of these when he's talking to Pilate. By way of answer, in verse 36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place. And then Pilate asks this question that isn't a question, if you know what I mean, because he hasn't got a question mark. You are a king then? Said Pilate. Which, of course, leads us to our next question. What kingdom? If Jesus is a king, what is he king over? If Jesus is a king, where is his kingdom? And here we have to understand the very thing that the Jewish leaders refused to accept, the very thing they refused to understand, that Jesus is God, that Jesus has always been God, that Jesus has been with God since forever, and that he, Jesus, who is God, took on flesh and became a man. And those of you who know John chapter 1 know that that's where I'm getting this inspiration from. The point is that Jesus did not start to exist when he was born in Bethlehem. Jesus has existed since forever. And when talking to Pilate, Jesus himself talks about having come into the world, which of course suggests that he has come from some place else. And in verse 37, when Pilate says, you are a king then, Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And now, of course, we're making good progress. We get on to question number 4. Asked by Pilate. And tragically, if you notice in the text, Pilate asks the question and does not hang around for the answer. Verse 38, after Jesus has said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Verse 38, what is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out. What a tragedy. What a tragedy for Pilate, and a tragedy in our world today. Think about it, my friends. Newspapers don't sell because they tell the truth. They sell because they print stories and lies and exaggeration, and perhaps more important than all, they print sensation. And many people watching the news on TV, they may well change channels and say, in the words of Pilate, what is truth? And then go out, as Pilate did, into the kitchen and switch on the kettle. What is truth? In this Gospel of John, we've talked about the fact that this Gospel of John is really well edited and it really fits together. And a lot of the questions that we raise, we can find answers in this very same Gospel of John. I mean, look, in John 14, verse 6, you can see the reference up there. Jesus had already said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. So to answer Pilate's question, what is truth? The answer Jesus has already given, Jesus is the truth. And if any of us are looking for truth, we're not going to find it on the TV or on the newspapers, not generally. We've got to find the truth in Jesus. And much earlier in the gospel, in John chapter 8, Jesus had linked knowing him, who is the truth, with being set free. And you'll see how nicely that links into our fifth question this morning. Who do we want to be set free? The verse John 8:31 says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's talk about being released. Let's talk about freedom. In verse 39 of our passage this morning, Pilate said to the people, it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews? And of course, they shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas had taken part in an uprising, in a revolution. Now, think about this. For the Jewish leaders, it was a tragedy that they chose Barabbas instead of Jesus. And yet, for us, and for the gospel, they had to choose Barabbas. They had to choose Barabbas instead of Jesus. Back in the day, Barabbas should have been punished. He had taken part in an uprising, a revolution. And Mark's gospel tells us that he had committed murder in the uprising. And here's the thing, my friends. Each of us, from Jesus' way of thinking, each of us is akin to Barabbas. We are all like him because we have all taken part in the uprising. We have all rebelled against God. That is our human nature from the day of our birth. We have all lived in rebellion towards God, and like Barabbas, taking part in the uprising, in the rebellion, has meant that we have also all committed murder too, just like Barabbas did, because according to Jesus' teaching, to be angry with a brother or sister results in judgment just as if we had murdered. And this quotation is the last one on the board there, Matthew 5. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Do you get this, yeah? So we all, like Barabbas, we have all taken part in rebellion towards God, and we all, like Barabbas, have been angry with a brother or sister at some point. Now, Jesus died instead of Barabbas, and if you are willing to believe it, and here's the point, because this gospel is being told around our world today and has been for centuries, and some people believe and receive and others reject. If you are willing to believe it, Jesus died instead of Barabbas. Jesus died instead of me. Jesus died instead of each one of us. And to bring it close to home, Jesus died instead of you, so that you, like Barabbas, could be set free. And here's a thing that I discovered. The name Barabbas actually means son of the Father. Now think about this. We are all descendants of Adam, our first father, Adam and Eve, yeah? We are all descendants of our first father, Adam. And as they say, like father, like son, we, like Adam, have all sinned. We have all proved ourselves to be sons of our father. And the name Barabbas actually means son of the Father. He, like his father, Adam, and all the ones in between, had sinned and therefore deserved to die. And Jesus died in the place of Barabbas. But who else do we see referred to as the Son? And who else do we see speaking often about the Father? Who else can we talk about as the Son of the Father? Of course, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the Father God. And so we can say that Jesus, the Son of the Father, died in place of Barabbas, the Son of the Father. Jesus, the Son of the Father, died in place of each one of us. Us, who were the sons and daughters of Adam. And here's an amazing thing. And again, the inspiration from this comes from this same gospel, John's gospel. If we receive Jesus and if we believe in him, he transforms our very identity so that we no longer become children of Adam, but so that we become children of God. And of course, that quotation also comes from John's Gospel, chapter 1. To all who believed him, to all who received him and who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. As you know, our motto here as a church is Great Holland's Free Church, because Jesus sets us free. Let us enter the freedom that Jesus offers us. Let us walk in the freedom. That's why we have small groups. That's why we meet on Sundays. That's why we have groups throughout the week. Because the temptation is to walk as the son of Adam rather than as the son of Jesus, the Son of God. And that's why we have these small groups, to encourage each other. And when things that are getting us down, practical things, all the things that get us down, they're getting us down. And we need each other to say, you know, stop looking at this situation as if you were a son of Adam. Start looking at it knowing that you are a child of God. Let us enter the freedom that Jesus offers. Let us walk in the freedom ourselves. So often, when you teach children to forgive, don't you do that? You know, to say sorry, those kind of things. And don't you sometimes get challenged in your heart? Because you who tell the children, you've got to say sorry. You who tell the children, you've got to be humble or whatever. Don't we sometimes realize that? We learned that when we were kids, but we need to relearn it and relearn it and relearn it. And it's the same with this. We've got to walk in the freedom that Jesus offers us. Otherwise, we cannot be the ambassadors of this freedom. And my challenge is, let's walk in the freedom, and let us also be ambassadors of this freedom to our families, our friends, our loved ones, and our enemies. And yeah, I know you're going to say, I don't have any enemies. There's no one I think of, I want to go and kill. You know, of course you don't have enemies, but there are plenty of people that might be like an enemy towards you, you know. Well, let's be ambassadors of the freedom of God to even to those guys, to anyone and to everyone. You see, we all, like Barabbas, have taken part in rebellion towards God. And we all, like Barabbas, have been angry with a brother or sister, which is equivalent to murder. Jesus died instead of Barabbas. And if we are willing to believe it, Jesus died instead of me, instead of each one of us. Jesus died instead of you, so that we, like Barabbas, could be set free.